Strategy and Insider, exploring future trends and their impacts.
Welcome to the sixth episode of our Strategy and Insider podcast, where we aim to explore some of the most critical future trends and their impacts. My name is Thomas Solbach, and I'm a partner at Strategy and the host of the first podcast season. In each of our episodes, we discuss some of the most fundamental questions in the healthcare industry with various experts like bioinformaticians, physicians, global pharma executives, health investors, and last time, a representative from government. And while enjoying an impressive view on the Arabian Gulf with Dr. Hamed Al-Hashimi from the Department of Health in Abu Dhabi, I'm having the pleasure to be now back in winterly Europe here in Berlin. And last time we did talk about how Abu Dhabi was able and managed to structure their ideation process to set up the country, but also the whole region for innovative health projects, generate trust for their new care model that they are about to install, and how they make better synthesis of data that they have already generated and will be generating in future. And today, I'm really thrilled and honored to welcome Peter Albietz to today's episode, who is the chairman of the management board here in Germany at Pfizer. And he will shed some light from the biopharmaceutical perspective on the future of healthcare. Peter actually is a biologist by train and also studied law, and starting his career at Pfizer back in 1996 as a pharmaceutical consultant, and then quickly assuming management positions in sales and marketing, being appointed to the managing director and head of primary care business back in 2009. And since March, actually, 15, he is the chairman of the management board. And apart from his corporate responsibilities, Peter is also very active and involved in various associations and foundations and boards and working groups in Berlin, outside of Berlin, throughout the country. So, Peter, very warm welcome. It's really a pleasure having time to spend with you now.
Thank you, Thomas. My pleasure to be here.
Super. I heard you speak both in interactions that we had personally, but also in latest interviews that you gave, very passionately about healthcare, about digitization, about new trends that will transform how we live healthcare in these days and in the future to come. You seem always very passionate about these topics. So it would be great if you can share some thoughts and shed some light why you're so passionate about that.
Yeah, happy to do so. So, you know, first looking at these themes, I think what we experience is we're living in transformative times, right? I think digital technology is changing the way we work, the way we communicate, the way we socialize, the way we live our lives. I think that's what we all see and feel. And what we also now can see is that health and healthcare have become a central focus of this change and transformation. And that is happening on an individual level as well as on a collective and on a global level. And I think especially, you know, the power of AI-based analytics of big and large data might become as transformative as the steaming engine was for the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century. So, you know, I think we are about to redefine health, healthcare, and life science.
Very true what you're saying. And I don't know whether you've seen that paper very recently also published in Nature, I think beginning of January 2020 now, so literally a couple of days back, where Google AI outperformed radiologists in reading out mammograms and better diagnosing breast cancer than renowned radiologists, improving both the false positive as well as the false negatives, and significantly, of course, and in addition to resulting in better outcomes, also reducing workload by about 90%. Yeah, so this is kind of the essence of the future, I guess.
Yeah, and this is fascinating because, you know, what has been predicted for quite some time becomes now real and tangible, right? So we can really see
exactly
that this is relevant, right? I mean, this can really, you know, change our capabilities for early diagnosis and screening. And this can, you know, complement, you know, the abilities of physicians and clinicians. This is a long, a deep debate in itself, you know, how that will turn out into the future, but absolutely fascinating to see what is already possible today.
Exactly. And it's there, as you say, in the past, everyone has been talking about it, that it might come at some point. It's there. And it's in Nature, right? It's a peer-reviewed, superb journal, and they are acknowledging it. I think it's now a step change that we're seeing.
True.
So we're already jumping into the topic, but let me jump 2-3 steps back, because I, of course, coming here and seeing you today in the podcast, I did also do some research in the back, and I've seen that, especially in, let's say, younger years. Yeah, you have been traveling really a lot, and especially to Indonesia, and also being... taking responsibility there and forcing funding programs for environmental protection, also another thing that you're passionate about. How does that relate to you, the environmentalism with pharma, and what have you learned kind of in your time in Asia and traveling around that you're bringing back to Europe and to healthcare?
Right. Yeah. Let me share some insights on my personal life. I think first point, you know, looking back, you know, what I realized is my path in life has never been linear, you know, with a single focus on one destination. So knowing this is where I want to be and go for that. I mean, I rather took an, I would say, exploratory approach and sometimes adventurous approach, you know. And for me, it was always important to learn, you know, to make new experiences. I think that what fuels me, gives me energy and has kind of guided me, you know, through my life and what I did. You know, how did I come to Pfizer? That's a story on its own. We might share at a coffee later. But you know, in a way, you know, it was in the mid-90s where I happened to get in touch with Pfizer, you know, kind of by coincidence. You know, the company made an interesting impression to me, you know, dynamic. Medicine, due to my studies in biology, was kind of close and familiar. And, you know, it was the opportunity for a new experience. So I joined, you know, and interesting enough, this journey now continues since more than 20 years, you know, which kind of is interesting. Looking at this question, you know, what has my life as, you know, a biologist and traveling, you know, through Indonesia to do with pharma today? I think, you know, first, it looks like pretty different things, right? And when I started to join...
I would say so, yeah.
Yes, yeah, and it is. I mean, when I started to join, that clearly was the case, you know, and friends of mine, you know, came to me, looked at me and asked, oh, seriously? You know, you as the Nature, you know, the adventure, you're going to boring, big pharma? Are you sure? I said, well, you know, it's my decision. I think it's a good next way to make new experiences, so I joined. Let me take it maybe to a different level, right? Mm-hmm. Because... you know, we are celebrating this year the 250th birthday of Alexander von Humboldt, right?
Yep.
I mean, one of the, I think, big, you know, naturalists, explorers, adventurers of history, right? A fascinating historic figure and man. And, you know, there's an interesting episode, you know, which he's noted in his notebook, which was in 1802, you know, he was in South America, and exploring South America. He climbed the Mount Chimborazo in Ecuador. This mountain was supposed to be the highest mountain in the world.
Okay.
At that time, he climbed up to 5,500 meters, could not get up really to the top due to conditions. But then he stood up there, and then he looked down the tropical rainforest, right? And then he had an enlightenment, like looking at it and saying, hey, in nature, everything is connected and everything is interdependent. And that formed what we today call ecology, right? I think that it was a very different perspective on the way we looked at nature. I think that has, you know, formed, you know, scientific careers and pathways, you know, like Charles Darwin's and others who all referred to him. Fascinating. Now, take that point, you know, and apply it to health. And healthcare, how much, you know, does that apply to healthcare? Yeah. Everything is interdependent. Everything is connected. And I think that's what we can look and learn from this ecological perspective. It takes a holistic approach, right, to truly meet the needs of patients. It takes a holistic approach to truly be able to drive health outcomes and be successful with that. I think that's something we see now as a shortfall in the system. So even if this is a bit of meta level, I think still there's a deep truth in it, which can guide us in the further path, you know, how healthcare should evolve.
And I couldn't agree more with you that there is a lot of deepness into that, because what we're seeing today also, when we talk about the future of healthcare, we talk about, of course, it will be digital, of course, it will be data enabled and data driven, it will be human at the same time. But we want to rather not cure a disease, but prevent a disease. We need to kind of get into people's lifestyles and behaviors in order to make the right choices available for people. I mean, this, to be said, is only possible if we as individual players that are caring for people's health are converting interests and work in ecosystems together around the well-being of a human or a patient at some point. So I'm totally with you. We can learn a lot from ecology, yeah, as you say, what you've experienced there. So with that said, that the healthcare industry and how we deliver healthcare is changing rapidly. Also, you made a recent statement that you think the value in healthcare that is generated and what we value as being valuable, yeah, needs to be redefined. And A, can you please elaborate on this? What do you mean with that? And what also probably you personally and Pfizer is doing towards that direction?
I think that is a very important question and starting point. And I think, you know, actually it all starts with a very fundamental reflection, which is, what does health mean for life?
Yeah.
What does health mean for us, you know, individually and collectively? And, you know, there's this famous saying, which is well known, health is not everything, but without health, nothing really is kind of worthwhile, right? I think that's something we very often cite to. Yet, when our priorities as individuals and as society do not really reflect that. You know, we tend to invest much more into, you know, our cars, traveling, you know, entertainment, fashion, whatever, right? Then into our health. And that is true for not only money, it's true, you know, when you look at our time and attention, you know, where we direct it to. So clearly we see, you know, that does not match. And that's also, interesting enough, true from a societal perspective. The way how we look at health, you know, we look at health, let me paint it a bit black and white, you know. We tend to look at health primarily as something burdensome, a cost, mm-hmm. Which needs to be handled with and managed and paid for. I think that's a bit the way we deal with this. And I think, you know, bottom line, this is a reductionist, and I would go so far and say this is kind of a cynic way to look at health, because it does not reflect at all the critical importance and the value health offers to us, right, as individuals, for life, for happiness, for our well-being, all of that. I mean, it's a fundament for that, right? So I think that's the first point. And the second point, back to what we've just discussed in terms of healthcare systems, it completely underestimates and does not give credit to the critical importance health plays for our economic and social prosperity, right? Mm-hmm. The narrow view just misses completely the opportunities which health and life science represent in these transformative times, you know, for our future competitiveness, for progress and all of this, right? So, you know, when you start with this reflection, you clearly see the big, you know, kind of mismatch, you know, we're facing today on an individual and on a collective level.
And to contribute to what you have been saying, actually, I have the feeling also personally, but also being with friends and family and others, you only care about health if you're not healthy. But how many days during the year we're waking up in the morning and say, hey, I'm healthy, great that I'm healthy, superb, yeah? Versus once you're sick, how many times you are complaining about being sick in that moment, right? And we only care about not being healthy, rather thanking that we are healthy. And that's kind of the cynical way that you're also
very
describing.
True.
And,
very
and
true.
It's, yeah.
Take the one for granted, health.
Yeah,
and it's something you complain about the other.
Exactly.
Right?
I think that's... But your Porsche or Mercedes, you don't take for granted, and you honor it day by day once you're stepping into your car, right? It's yeah.
Which
cynical.
Is fine, but you can only enjoy it when you're healthy. I think that's true as
that
well.
Is
so
true.
Don't forget that point,
yeah.
Right?
No, very true. And we're also facing now statements that people are making. I think you have a similar perspective on that, that ideally we should come into a new wave of rewarding health instead of caring for illnesses. And of course, this is easy said, hard to get. What is your perspective on that, reverting the system towards, caring for health?
I think that point is just a consequence of what we just discussed, right? Because if this is true, what we're saying, you know, we need to really reflect on, you know, how do we navigate, you know, our activities towards what's the goal, what's the aim, right? And with that point, look at healthcare systems. You know, today, healthcare systems incentivize for input, for activity, right? I mean, that's the way we doctors get paid. That's the way hospitals get remunerated according to their DRGs. That's the way pharma, we, medtech, biotech get paid for medicines and devices. And, you know, I think looking at this, it's not by intention, but this model rewards illness, mm-hmm. right? That's just true. That is happening, right? Because we guide the money according to that. And this is not what we want. And this is not how it should be, you know, very, very clearly and simply said. We should reward and incentivize for health, for keeping people healthy, for curing people. We should incentivize for outcomes, right? Yeah. For the result. That's, I think, the big paradigm shift, I think, which healthcare systems need to be transformed into. Now, this is a big one. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, the system. This is a system which not is working that way in Germany. It's nearly working in all developing countries more or less the same way. Yeah. And this, it's a long time since those systems have been applied due to lacking valid alternatives. Yeah. Right. So why do we think we can change it now? Right. I think we have. We have an opportunity. I think that digitalization, the opportunities of digitalization now open us a new door to change that system. And that is true, I think, because of many different aspects. One clearly is that we will be able to measure now the outcomes of health intervention, because mm-hmm. we'll be able to analyze those data sets, real world data sets. I think that's one very important aspect, because then you can really say, now I pay for the outcome, because we are really able to measure it and allocate it to, you know, whoever contributes. I think the second aspect where we see the shortfalls of today's system is the silo and sector building in mm-hmm. the system. So now, you know, with the technology and digital infrastructure, you know, we can overcome that. We can connect sectors. You know, we can create joint
easily,
data spaces and care spaces, so that the holistic way of managing health and helping patients can be applied. And the third element, I think, which we cannot underestimate, comes from an individual level. We have an unprecedented opportunity to empower people, to empower patients. You know, give them the knowledge, the tools and support they need to contribute to their own health, right? And
to care for their own
health. You know, and become just a very important part of all of that. So these are just three elements,
yeah.
but three really fundamental ones, right? Which I think open up a new door and a historic opportunity, I would say.
Absolutely. And there is some sort of pilots going on, and one that sometimes obviously then jumps to mind is Project Haven, or the joint venture Haven between Amazon, JP Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, because what they are doing is they are crossing some of the bridges of those healthcare players that more need to work in concert. Second, they are running their first virtual primary care clinics. So they are a provider as Amazon. They bought PillPack, being a wholesaler. Potentially more to come, who knows? But the point that I want to make is here, there is an immediate reaction between a company and its employees. Because if your employees are more healthy this year than the last year before, then your employees are more effective and you can produce more. So there is a direct link to the benefit of this company, meaning that the doctors working for an Amazon or a JP Morgan or whatever, they should be incentivized by making the employees healthier from year one to year two, rather than saying how many CT scans as a doctor have you conducted this year. Now, transverting this from a company perspective to society, of course, is a big jump. But in small steps, we're seeing this can happen, and it is possible. So that's kind of an example that sometimes jumps to mind in these.
Absolutely, I think it goes absolutely the right way, and it's the way we have to learn, right? Because we have the bit before we will have the big change in the system, we need to experiment with those examples that it works out, right? Yeah. That it really benefits the way we want, or that we learn, you know, what we could change to do this. And look, you know, just as you mentioned, and we said before, look how much health, you know, plays a significant role in different aspects. One is the productivity, you know, which, you know, your employees yeah. have. The other one, you know, when you do this is attractiveness as a company. I mean, you're a great employer, right? And people will have to join you if they see you're caring yeah. for their health and supporting them. So already you have two quite important elements, you know, for your prosperity as a company.
On that note, because we were discussing that different industry perspectives and participants need to more act in concert, as we would say, as you are the speaker of the health cluster here in Berlin, and this is a place where members of clinics, of insurances, of researching companies come together and do cooperate. How does this work day to day, and what are you basically working on? What's your direction that you're taking as a health cluster?
We referred to that point before. It's all about collaboration. Mm-hmm. It's all about joining forces. No one, no single, you know, company, player, or sector will be able to drive that change. You know, it's only, you know, in bringing this together. Now, looking at Berlin, the health cluster in Berlin and Brandenburg, you know, is a fascinating ecosystem, right? I mean, you know, when I started to take the position as speaker, you know, and dive deeper into it, I was impressed, you know, by the variety of players which we have here and the richness, right? We have, I mean, we have world-class science, right? We have cutting-edge research, top hospitals, clinics, rehab centers, numerous biotech, pharma, medtech companies. You know, startup, a lively startup community, you know, nearly, you would say, everything, you know, which it would take. And this is all, you know, here in vicinity, right? I mean, it's very close together, and we have urban centers and we have rural areas. So, you know, it's an excellent place to experiment. Now, yeah. I think that's the one aspect. When we look at it from a different angle, I would say, yet we're not really deploying its potential. At all, I would say. Because you compare this with, you know, the other world-class leading life science centers, right? like the Boston area, New York, you know, San Francisco, or life science clusters in China. You know, we are still far off when it comes to, you know, productivity, for when it comes to the translation of knowledge, mm-hmm. you know, of scientific results into products and services, and creating companies, right? This is not yet what we've been able to do. So connecting all the dots. So what I'm passionate about is to address this, right? And just to activate and mobilize, you know, all these actors to join forces behind a bigger idea. And we've started to do that last year, and it's work in progress. So we're now going to finalize a master plan for the mm-hmm. years to come. This is work underway. But what we already have done is articulate that vision. And that, you know, in essence is that we want to aim that this region, Berlin-Brandenburg, becomes a leading life science hub globally, right? Playing with the big life science hubs on one level. And the other aspect of it also, that we make this a blueprint uh-huh. region when it comes to access to, you know, medicine, access to healthcare and latest developments
basically.
For the people, right?
Yeah.
For the people in the region, right? I think that's kind of those two aspects, and yeah, that's what we want to articulate. And then, you know, let me see what will be possible.
That's
right?
A so bold far, and great vision.
So yeah? far, yes, and so far I see actually good resonance, right? When we you know, come together with the actors. So
yeah, that's absolutely a very big mission ahead. And what we are also seeing here in Berlin, it's a very vibrant place also for healthcare startups. Yeah, so if there is any place in Germany, at least, if not Europe, then someone has to have Berlin on its radar. And rightly so, you also build your own Berlin healthcare hub, as you name it, where you search for outside inspiration, sharing knowledge and developing digital ideas and building those. Can you shed some light on that, and what are the type of solutions that you're looking for and working on?
Yeah, no, this is a passion of mine, you know, healthcare or Healthcare Hub. When we founded the Healthcare Hub in 2014, this was an exploratory adventure.
It must have been at 2014.
It must have been, because we've not done it before, and we have not really had an idea at the beginning. So what will that bring back? Now, what we intended to find out is you know, in reaching out and connecting with these entrepreneurs and startups, you know, is there something where we can apply their creativity to addressing healthcare challenges and issues, you know, in the indications and fields we're in, and making a difference, right, to mm-hmm. patients' lives. I think that was kind of the more fundamental view beyond let's look what is out there, right, and understand and meet the people. You know, today, a couple of years later, I would say we have become an integral part of this creative ecosystem. We're well connected. We're having, you know, productive interactions. So, you know, that has really evolved
It arrived, it seems.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I think that the mantra, you know, which we have used for HealthCap, which is, you know, we build collaborations on trust, mm-hmm. right? This is critically important, on fairness and on eye level. This has resonated, right? And we hired startup entrepreneurs, you know, who joined us, mm-hmm. sometimes 50-50. They remained working on their startup, but then supported us. And I think this kind of approach has really helped us a lot. And you know, what also has made us proud is that our Healthcare Hub has become a blueprint for Pfizer globally. I think we've been the first one who built that up. And now, you know, in Pfizer, we have built numerous other healthcare hubs, you know, on that principle, in all regions in the world. So London, Stockholm, Tokyo, Sydney, you know, you name it, they have built it up. So that was really nice.
That's impressive. Really out of Germany, yeah?
Out of Germany, right. Yeah. So Germany was kind of the spark and then driver for all of that, which you know, of course, you know, we're really happy and proud about. And regarding collaboration, you know, there are several ones. So, you know, the first I would pick and highlight is a collaboration with Cotrium, which is a Danish a startup and entrepreneur and innovator, a medtech innovator. Cotrium has developed a sensor, mobile sensor for monitoring cardiac arrhythmia. Right. So that's kind of the first point. That's a critical pillar for the early detection of atrial fibrillation. And atrial fibrillation, which many people don't know, is one of the most important risk factors for getting hit by a stroke. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of the critical medical need sits. Of course, it's a commercial opportunity, you know, much more for Cotrium than for us. But, you know, for us, it's an opportunity to show we are able to drive health impact and outcomes. Because just imagine, we are able to increase also the number of patients diagnosed, and then they get treated and prevented by stroke. I mean, what an impact can you make even beyond the medicine? You know, they might get treated with our medicine, they might get treated with another medicine, you know. But at the end, if they get prevented from stroke, what a great outcome. Yeah. I think that's what I love. I mean, those kind of collaborations.
And can I just probe into you mentioning the ups and downs of kind of that marriage, more to the downs? I mean, what were your kind of biggest surprises that you came across, or mistakes that you discovered that you haven't expected to come? Can you name one or two that
you know, that
made you
we've
think?
Just seen, we started to work with the startup in a way, you know, due to our background and expertise. We thought the startup, you know, they also know about all these aspects of, you know, market dynamics, about internal processes and management and finance, etc. I mean, they all have joined as startup entrepreneurs. They have to do all their same. And we are a company of more than 90,000 people.
Big.
Grown in 170 years. They've just started. So, and then we saw their shortfalls in those aspects. You know, no wonder, because they couldn't have everything ready. Yeah. So sometimes we say, hey, why have you not seen this? Why have you not built the case robust enough? You know, or thought through, you know, how that would work out? Or early on, you know, started to address some shortfalls. I mean, they've also been fascinated by the technology. Mm-hmm. And maybe not yet, as we have already looked at, you know, what does it make it real and happen to bring it in the market? So what is needed for that one, like the approval process also as a medical device, etc., what studies are needed. And then what was, I think, great to experience is that the most important thing we could offer them was not money. Actually, we did. I mean, we invested a bit of money, but not a lot. The most important thing was knowledge, experience, yeah. Our expertise in all those fields, clinical development, market access, you know, also some kind of business planning and business analytics, things which for us, you know, are quite, you know, nothing special.
Yeah.
But for them, it mean everything because it complemented where they
are strong.
Yeah. And I think that back to the point of the healthcare hub, that's what has also, you know, at the start just surprised and I would even say overwhelmed us. You know, when we made the first invitations to startups, I said, let's come to us, to Pfizer in Potsdamer Platz,
yeah,
at our headquarters, and we invite you to, you know, there was some Coca-Cola and beer and some pretzels and nothing else. And then, you know, we'll talk a bit about, you know, what we do as Pfizer, about whatever, market access, you know, clinical development, et cetera. You know, we thought, well, let's see, my 10, 12 might come. It was, I still remember those years back, the first evening, I came later from another event, and I came in and said, what's going on here? It looked like a party. There was 100 or more. The room was full.
Not enough full pretzels, of, probably.
Like,
yeah.
like good old, good parties in our good old times. You know, full of people, energy, vibrant. And that was not happening once, right? I think that has continued to happen. You know, these startup exploratory
It became an institution,
and I think, and that's what we also, you know, felt like, wow, look what we have as capability, you know, which, you know, is so valuable for startups. But again, I mean, I think important to say, vice versa, right? We have learned a lot from them, you know, their agility, their creativity,
customer centricity,
which when we invited startups to, you know, we call it actually healthcare 2020. Where are we now? In the year 2020. So that's where we brought them in and teached our people, right, on what's coming down the road and what do we need to prepare for, right, and get excited about. So, yeah, really a great Germany.
As you were saying, you obviously these startups are superb in their agility, in their speed, in what they bring to market, how they experiment, how user-centric they are. At the same time, what is superbly important in healthcare, even more so than in other places of our life, is that you take society and the system, the whole healthcare system, with you on that solution or that journey that you're building, because we all want to have trust that our data is handled appropriately.
Yeah? Very true.
And recently, back in 2019, Google was also hit when they went into collaboration with Ascension, which is one of the largest US healthcare systems, caring for millions of lives in more than 20 states in the US, and Google getting access to patient level data, be it diagnosis, be it treatment outcomes and what have you, and with very good intention, it seems, ultimately it seems also compliant, but still kind of under the radar, but with very good intentions in terms of building up clinical effectiveness and catering better patient safety in reading new insights into existing data. Now, this is something where, again, Google did probably not communicate too openly about it, but this is obviously at a much larger scale than in a startup, as they are talking millions of lives that they have access to. This type of large-scale strategic move that is going on from the tech players for the time being in large extent, is that also a possibility for Pfizer? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, first point to just realize is, you know, it's a strategic imperative, I would say, for all of us to build these capabilities and to take advantage, right, of this, I would say, unprecedented and transformative potential, you know, which not only about, you know, AI, machine learning, analyzing big data sets offered to us. So collaborations play a critical role, but I would like to make one point which I think is even, you know, more fundamental or comes before it, and that is, it's about, I think, in a first priority to build up these capabilities internally.
Yeah.
Right? So that you as a company are shaping this foundation. And I think this is important, that you're really able to drive the change needed and then succeed in, you know, we might call it the digital race, mm-hmm. which is up. And, you know, and we've built up significant capabilities within Pfizer, you know, okay. especially last year. I think that was a big move, which we did under the leadership of our new digital officer, you know, who's joined us from Quest externally.
And that is at the global level.
That is at the global. Yeah. I'm talking about global level because you know, those big collaborations, you know, happen of course, you know, from a global level. And you know, and we've built up this dedicated Pfizer digital mm-hmm. organization. And have been able to recruit top experts in all fields and levels of digital health. So I think that was a huge and big step in that direction. And this is complemented by external collaboration. Mm-hmm. That to me is the right way to do it. And there's numerous of those underway, especially of course in clinical research, you know, where we work actually with Google, you know, Verily, mm-hmm. we are part of, you know, exploring those technologies and innovative ways. You know, there's a strategic collaboration with Flatiron to unlock the power of real-world evidence in oncology. And there's another one with SciAps, for example, a company which accelerates precision medicine, right? Mm-hmm. So we're using also their access to data and kind of take advantage of that. And I think this, you know, this way, you know, you build up your own capabilities, this empowers you to navigate right into the future. This empowers you and gives you the knowledge to make the right decisions on future collaborations, on future investment. Because, you know, it might look great today, you know, to collaborate with Google. Well, tomorrow there might be another company evolving, you know, with a highly sophisticated, you know, AI algorithm, and then this is your partner of choice. So, you know, the key point is how are you able to make the right decisions, you know, and act on it. So, I think this still will be a very dynamic field.
Yeah.
So, agility, you know, speed, right decision, but clearly also scale, you know, will be important determinants.
That scale is absolutely important to have data that really matters and a meaningful scale and of data that you can read into. And it's impressive to see that, yes, you are talking at a global level, but that competitors of the past are more and more becoming partners, because you were referencing Flatiron. Flatiron is basically was bought out by Roche, and all of a sudden Pfizer and Roche, two of the three biggest pharma companies in the world, are now collaborating through this arm of Roche. It's impressive to see that boundaries are more and more getting blurred in the interest of the patient at the end of the day. Yeah. So that is impressive to see. And on that note, I think we're now in a new decade. And in that decade and the years to come, I think many of the public discussions around health and care will involve topics like what is actually technically possible, what are responsible costs to gather or to pay, what is ethically, morally right to do, whether it's about organ donation, genetic researches, stem cell therapies, usage of robots and machines and in care delivery, all these type of big hairy topics that we don't like to talk about that much, but in essence, it will be important to have this dialogue, because technically a lot will be possible. Will it ethically be viable and liked by people? We don't know yet, right? But what is your perspective on this set of very ethical questions that we need to tackle as a society?
Yeah, you know, as we already reflected on, we are really facing a transformative change, a deep transformative change. The rules of the games, you know, are changing, you know. And when you look at things like value, power, progress, this is all going to be redefined, right, in a way. So what matters, what plays a role? And I would say, you know, at this, from my perspective, still early stage of transformation. Mm-hmm. So personally, I think we're just at the beginning of the transformation. I think mm-hmm. we'll see much deeper and transformation coming. You know, most people do not yet have a full and thorough understanding of what that means for us on a very fundamental level. You know, take an example which we all experience every day. We are using platforms like Google, Amazon, Facebook every day and feeling cool. Right? This is for free. Yet that isn't true, right? We're just not aware that we are paying with the most valuable goods and currencies of the future, which is our personal and individual data. And that's the point. You know, data will be an incredible high value treasure in the future, in future societies and economies, right? And so what does it mean for us, right? That's the point. And, you know, just looking at health, for health, data will be the source of developing new breakthrough medicines, right? And, you know, which, you know, we'll be able to cure and overcome diseases potentially, which we could not even dream of today. I think that is what is in that. And to your point, and that's also, again, I think very important, what comes first? At first, this is not, and most fundamentally, this is not a technological change. It looks like, but you know, more fundamental, this represents, I think, in essence, a deep cultural change. And I would go so far and say an even, you know, a humanitarian challenge, right, which is out there, which creates the uncomfortableness, right, around it. Because people, even if they don't know everything, but they feel something is changing and coming. So, you know, I think, you know, what is important for us is that we still, I would say, we still need to become kind of enlightened for this future game, right? So that, what does that mean? This game has started, and I think we have an obligation and a necessity to educate people on all those aspects.
And on that point, I mean, there is people saying, and I'm not judging whether right or wrong, but people saying it's unethical to see certain type of data and generate insights into that. At some point, we might come into a situational perspective that it's even unethical to not do it, because if you would read into it, you could do something good. It would not be ethical to not do it, because you're hindering innovation, you're hindering better outcomes for patients, you're hindering better safety for patients. So it's clearly a decade that we're now starting that will be full of change, full of transformation, and a lot of opportunities out. Absolutely, and of course, challenges to overcome, but it will be a thrilling time, I'm sure.
And it will
I'm
be,
sure.
And absolutely, I share that, I fully share that. And you look at it that way, you know, there's probably a big and significant opportunity, which I think, you know, over the past year has been reflected and discussed. You know, you look at, you know, how things have developed so far, and that there's a dominance from the US, you know, the Western part, the West Coast, and starting also from China. So where is Europe in that game, right? I mean, that's the question which has now been, you know, been discussed on all levels. And I think, you know, looking at health and healthcare, I truly think there is an opportunity, because the way systems are built today, they do not reflect all those fundamental aspects of ethics, right? And of our deep beliefs and values as societies, right? And as more people learn about it, and more learn about also risk and value of data, the more I think they will come in a position where they will ask for that, where they will require that. Now, here we go. We could build those systems, right? We can do this. I mean, we have an engineering power
background,
and gene background, so we can build those systems. We can build those data trust centers, you know, which are secure and are regulated, and which really truly reflect, you know, this aspect of transparency and the value and human rights, you know, and all the things. So so that, you know, this is built according and along those principles and fundamentals, and that could, I think, become a competitive edge for us, you know, in the years to come.
Yeah, no, clearly, and nothing more to add, but very much agree with that statement that you just made on this kind of power play and power shift. So, very great conversation up until here. It's been great to get your perspectives. Now, summing it up for our listeners here to this podcast, what are kind of the key takeaways for you of what we discussed, and also how this translates into the future?
As always in life, there's risk and there's opportunity when those transformations happen. I think that's just the dual nature, right? Which we always always see and face. And, you know, in essence, you know, our discussion, I would say, looking at the world today, there's good things, but there is really clearly also significant shortfalls and challenges when it comes to health and healthcare, right? Which we addressed before. And I think the age we are now in, and with the future which has started, offers a, you know, a historic opportunity, right, to overcome this, right, and shape the healthcare of the future, shape the future of health, right, the way we want it, to all our benefit and for a better health. And that, I think, bottom line to me, you know, is what, you know, excites me unbelievably, and I can see that many others as well. So,
kind of there is a movement going on and accelerating, it seems. Yeah. So for me, clearly, one of the key takeaways was today that you're absolutely passionate and energetic in engaging and driving and realizing the future of healthcare, that there will be digital, there will be new, there will be with new values and challenges to overcome, but very passionate about that. Second, I think there is no doubt that we will see a transformation of our healthcare system that will be, however, need to be fostered at the intersects of various players and working more in ecosystem, more in concert together, and crossing bridges and boundaries there. And also, we as a society, we will see towards, and we are seeing towards, great benefits and opportunities that might arise. At the same time, we need to also engage into a societal discussion of what we as a society want to see, want to allow, and at some point probably don't want to see and don't want to allow. So there is a societal discussion inevitably needed going forward.
Very true.
So with that said, Peter, thanks again for great perspectives, for
thank
great
you,
openness,
Thomas.
And really a pleasure to have you here and get your perspectives.
Great pleasure.
So with that said, thanks everyone for listening. If you are interested in more information, as always, please go to our website and download latest perspectives and thoughts. And we very much look forward to cutting our next episode in due course, where we are rather seeing a different perspective, more from the technology side, more from the startup side, on what they think the future of healthcare is up for. So thanks very much for listening. Have a great day and bye-bye.
Strategy and Strategy made real.